reading to you from the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and with the 18th verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then I read also from 3 John and the 36th verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 48 years ago in Seattle, Washington, in a pastor's home. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Christ ever since. So why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'm going to start this message off tonight by asking you a question. And I'm telling you, friends, it's the most important question that has ever been asked to anyone in this whole world. If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? You see, friends, these past 46 years that I've been preaching the gospel, that question has been asked, lots of time, you see. Well, Cecil, can you know if whether you're saved or can you know whether you're going to go to heaven? Absolutely you can. Now, I made this broadcast tape for my friends, my classmates, my shipmates, and those who I'm concerned about. And I'll tell you the reason being, I have talked to so many people who say, Cecil, I'm not a bad person. I've not went out and stole, or I'm not a alcoholic or a drug addict. My dear friends, it hasn't got a thing to do what you are. The Bible said that we are born in sin. The Bible also tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, first of all, I do not want anybody listening to this broadcast tape tonight to leave your church or leave your denomination. All that I'm asking you is to be sure that you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You say, well, Cecil, are you that smart? No, friends, I'm not that smart. But this book is God's holy, unerring word. I have a lot of Catholic friends, and they say, Cecil, do you believe in a Douay version of the Bible? Of course I do. It's God's holy, unerring word. Of course I believe in that. Now, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. I'll have to give you a little background on myself, because some of you don't know it, but I was born and raised in the Dalles, Oregon. That's a small town. At that time, there was about 5,000 people there. We lived way out in the country, and we didn't have churches out in the country. So every once in a while, a circuit riding preacher would come to the Grange Hall and hold a Sunday school class or something. I was a happy little kid. My stars, I had a mom and a dad, and had two sisters and two brothers. One of my sisters died, and wasn't too many long after that my mom died. And that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I did not want to live, In fact, the matter is I was a freshman in the Dalles High School. I run away from home because of my mean stepmother, and I got a job milking 9 cows night and morning for $5 a month board and room, so I put myself through high school, so I was pretty poor. But after my mom died, I just didn't want to live. Well, I had 2 friends in my freshman class. One of them was Mary Zanheiser, and the other one was Mercedes Kelly. They were 2 of the sweetest people in the whole world. And they took me under their wing, and they helped me and encouraged me. One sat ahead of me in one class, and one sat behind me. Both of them end up marrying good men. Without them, I would have never got through school. No, I wouldn't have. When I'd talk about skipping school, they talked me out of it. But more than that, they were my friends, just a real wonderful friends. And if there's ever any success in my life, I have to owe it to Mary and Mercedes. They meant that much to me. Well, then my dad, after mom died, a year later, my dad married a very, very mentally ill woman. Well, I would say she was mentally ill, or she was just plain evil. But she hated me, and I hated her. And I ran away from home, and then, like I said, I put myself through high school milking cows. Well, during the war, World War II broke out, and my dad signed me up for the Navy. I was 17 years old. I was so tiny in high school, I couldn't play football, I couldn't play basketball, I couldn't play baseball, but I could fight, so I made the boxing team. But that was the year we had a couple state champion football team, the best. And over the years, I've tried to stay in touch with my classmates. We've had several class reunions. The last time I went to one, was our 55th or was it the 6th? I don't know. But anyway, I went there. And I had a good friend, Bill Elton, he was our class president, and he was a fine born-again believer. And we've stayed in touch over the years. But now, the war's over. I came home. I had no place to go because Dad died just shortly after he put me in the Navy. So I had no home. So my brother got me a job driving dump truck, and I drove dump truck. And my other brother had a babysitter. Her name was Jean Jackson. Well, man, I tell you, I liked her. And believe it or not, I convinced her to elope with me and get married. She was 17. I was 21. In fact, the matter is, she still had a couple months to graduate from school. She was torch honor all through school. I didn't know what the honor roll was. I never made above a 4, and I'm not proud of that. But anyway, we got married, and I told her I was the best thing since peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She found out I was a liar. She found out I was an alcoholic, and our marriage was on the rocks within about a year. Pretty soon I started drinking in Skid Row in Portland, Oregon. And I mean, I'm ashamed of that, but I did. And you know, I really didn't know there was a God. Let's rephrase it. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know he loved people like me. I just thought he loved preachers and children and old grandmas. But my wife said, "You've got to get some help." So I went to psychiatrists, I went to psychologists, I went to brain specialists, I went to doctors, yes, and I went to 6 different preachers. But no one ever told me there was any hope for me. Well, finally, after losing my business and losing everything that we had, we were living in a rat-infested apartment there in out of Seattle, Des Moines, Washington. And I went on a toot, and I didn't sober up for 30 days. And I came home one night, I stole a quart of whiskey, and I came home with a buddy of mine, and I told my wife to fix me a drink. Well, she was going to do it, but she poured it down the sink. We had a terrible argument that night, and that night she informed me that she was going to take my 3 sons and our daughter and move to Portland. That was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I thought I couldn't bear it that night. I kidnapped my oldest boy at 2:30 in the morning. I went to an old wino's house, got him out of bed. And I told him that my wife was going to leave me and I was going to commit suicide. I said, there's no use of me trying to live because without her and those kids, I'm nothing. Isn't that funny how you find out what a mess you are? Well, so I noticed the Seattle phone directory and I looked at it and I got the yellow pages and I found clergyman. Now, this is clergyman number 7. I called him out of bed at 3 o'clock. Now, not many clergymen will talk to an alcoholic at 3 in the morning, but he told me. I told him, I said, preacher, I'm going to take my life. And I started to cry, but I said, I'm afraid to die. He said, son, you get over here. I went there and I sat in his house for 3 hours. I do not know how many questions that I asked him that morning, but there was a raft of them. And he kept telling me, but God loves you. I said, that's not true. He took my mom, he took my sister, he took my dad, now he's taken my family, and I'm a no good alcoholic. Well, you know, folks, without knowing any theology, all I knew that I was a sorry, sorry sinner. And I got down on my knees and I said, oh God, if you're up there, here's my heart, my life. And I'm giving my heart to you, Lord, and come in and be my Savior. Friends, for the first time in my life, I received peace in my heart that I never experienced before. I always had a Charlie horse in my heart. My heart always ached. And that morning, I went outside. It seemed like every bird in Seattle was singing in those cherry trees. And this preacher said, well, Cecil, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. And I said, I don't know, but I sure feel good. I went home. My wife and her girlfriend was packing her up, and I begged, I cried, I graveled, I did everything. Finally, Jean gave me one more chance. Oh, friends, that's been 48 years ago. Oh, I tell you how thankful I am that she took me back. Had she not taken me back, I don't know what would have happened to me. Well, since that time, my wife and I have traveled halfway around the world telling this story. You say, well, Cecil, shoot, there's a lot of testimonies better than mine. It's not that. Yet there's so many alcoholics in the world today, you don't realize how many alcoholics there is. People depending on that filthy stuff to keep them, to maintain their life. Well, now what's happened since then? Well, let me tell you what's happened since then. They made a movie in my life called Against All Hope. They have written a book about my life. Dr. Douglas White, a prophetic writer, wrote a story of my life called Go Mo Go. And then I wrote a book, Hey James, Just One More Story. They did my life story on Unshackled out of Chicago. I've appeared on nationwide TV programs around the country. I preached in Japan, Mexico, the Caribbean, Alaska, Hawaii. Now, you say, well, Cecil, you must be special. No, no, no. Oh, dear friends, I'm not special. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Everything that's happened to me, I owe unto God, the one that reached down in a gutter and saved Cecil Moe, a sinner. And, you know, another honor, I've been privileged to be invited to the Pentagon building, and I spoke there 5 times to our top military leaders in the United States. And you know what? I was just an enlisted man in the Navy. I spoke to admirals. I spoke to generals. And because they knew that something happened in my life. Well, it has. Let me tell you a beautiful story about, I have a skipper. It was on the last ship I was on, the USS Gage, APA 168. And it was, he was one of the best skippers we ever had. He's a retired admiral now. He's 95 years old, and I have been to several of our ship's reunions. And the night I had my heart attack, he called me on the phone and talked to me. And how many admirals would talk to a little old third-class yeoman? And let me tell you something else happened. Now, Sir Longo, we have a little paper that the Gage puts out by some of the shipmates, and it said that Admiral Alexanderson was in the hospital with a congenital heart disease. I called his wife, and she said, he's home, Cecil. Would you like to talk to him? So she got on one phone, and I got on another phone, and I said, Skipper, how you doing? He said, well, I'm sure glad to be home out of that old hospital. And I said, well, you know what, Skipper, when we die and go to heaven, we're not going to have any more heart attacks, no more problems, no more financial problems, health problems. And his wife spoke up and she said, Cecil, the Skipper and I don't know whether we're going to heaven. I said, what? Now, I know for a fact both of those people are religious. Now, you heard what I said? They were religious. And I said, well, listen, let me tell you how you can find Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I talked about Nicodemus, where he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, you're born of the flesh, but you have to be born of the Spirit. And I said, Skipper, would you and your wife like to invite Christ into your heart? And they said, oh, yes, we would. And so I led them in a sinner's prayer. The last thing the Skipper said to me before we hung up, oh, Cecil, this is the happiest day of my life. 95 years old, but he did not know whether he was going to heaven, and he wouldn't have went to heaven. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. See, there are a lot of people who talk about God, talk about church, and talk about religion and Sunday school, or how good they are, but they never talk about Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. No matter what things you've done in your life, as you know, I'm a volunteer prison chaplain. Me and my quartet and my wife go to prison every month. We have 13 prisons that we go to. And we go in there with a message of hope. These men and women, some are murderers, some of them are rapists, some of them are the worst people in the world. You wouldn't think that God would care about them. The Bible said, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Lo, I'm with you on the end of the world. Well, friends, when you come to a place in your life when you really aren't sure, then you need to do what I'm going to. There's going to be another tape on the back of this tape. I want you to listen to it. Again, friends, I don't, not here to condemn your church or your religion. I'm not here to tell you I'm smarter than you or that you're an evil person or bad person. But, beloved, according to my Bible, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible said, excuse me, the Bible said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He stands outstretched arms tonight saying, child, Cecil told the truth. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he said. You say, well, Cecil, I believe in God and I love God, but I don't want Jesus. Well, you can't come to Jesus except, you can't come to the Father except by Jesus. You can't circumvent Jesus and get to heaven. Ye must be born again. Oh, what a wonderful thought. And you know, a lot of people say, well, Cecil, I've tried to live a good life. I don't doubt that a bit. You weren't like me. You were no good alcoholic. But the Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot get into heaven by being good. I know it sounds logical and plausible that you could, but it can't happen. You see, because our forefather and Adam and Eve, they've sinned in the garden. They were cast forth out of the garden. And so we all have the Adamic nature. Now, what did Jesus do on the cross? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He was sinless, but he took your sins and mine. And he paid for them. See, back in the Old Testament, they used bullocks and doves and things to pay for our sin. But that no longer satisfied God the Father. It had to be a perfect gift, which was Jesus, sinless, virgin born, and the whole story of Jesus is true. Well, now let me ask you this question. It's a kind of a simple question, but it's a very powerful question. Do you feel in your heart and life, if you could have everything that you've done that's been bad forgiven and the blackboard wiped clean, would you like that? If I told you tonight to get to heaven, all you'd have to do is get up and walk through your front door, you go to heaven, would you go? Of course you would. You're not stupid. You bet you would have. But Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you. Tonight, if God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, and you know whether he is, and you know right now whether you're going to heaven or not, because the Spirit of living God has convicted you and showed you that you need to be born again. You need to accept Jesus. Now, I'm not asking you to leave your church. I'm not asking you to condemn your pastor. I'm asking you to come to Jesus, repenting of your sins and accept him as Savior. Now, if you feel a real tugging at your heart tonight, let me help you pray the sinner's prayer that changed my life and kept me sober and happy for the past 48 years. And don't pray it unless you really mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for hearing my prayer tonight. Lord, I'm turning my back on the old way of life. I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to have you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Or if you'd like to write to me, my address is Cecil Moe, 9621 South Burberry, that's B-U-R-B-E-R-R-Y, Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado, 80129. And I would be glad to send you a book free. And you can read that book. Listen, read the Bible. Pray, ask God to show you. Let me play the my New Grace Quartet. They've been traveling with my wife and I for 18 years in these federal and state prisons. They're the finest four people, husbands and wives. I just love them to death. My stars, they brought so much joy and happiness in people's lives. You listen to them now.
There's a river flowing deep and wide, coming from the Savior's side. From his hands, his feet and brow sweet holy tide,
you know, friends, I forgot to tell you, but you know, I talked about Mary Zannheiser and Mercedes Foley. Well, you know, about 3 years ago, I received a phone call from my good Christian brother, our class president of 42. He said, "Cecil, you know, Mary's in the hospital. She had her lung removed with cancer." I got right on the phone and I called the hospital in Portland and I talked to her. And I let her know I was very concerned and I'd be praying for her and I'd be asking our radio listening family to continue to pray for her. And she said, oh, Cecil, you know, I never have been involved in the Christianity. That's been kind of a bugaboo with me. I said, Mary, you better start thinking about it, you know. And she said, oh, I'm getting fine. I think I'm going to be all right. And she went back home to the Duffer. And I'd call her about, once a week. And I'd say, how you doing, Mary? Oh, I'm doing fine, Cecil. And